Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's Howard Simon and Jeremy White.
This is the worst, most corny show ever. You both need to be fired.
Howard Simon.
You feel good, body strong, sleep big last night.
Jeremy White.
I would sacrifice the Sabres playoffs if Brady retires at halftime of the Bills game, refuses to come out.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Hey, just a quick update. We're going to get Mike Girardi on from NFL Network. So the it's 20% capacity for outdoor stadiums right now, but it will go up to 33% on May 19th. So for Salem Field, it's a little over 5,500 fans would be allowed at the stadium when the Jays come here. Again, that first homestand for them here would be June 1 against Miami, and then the Cheaters are in town. Get your trash cans. Houston's coming.
I'm already got them. Ready to go.
By June 1, can we get to 50%?
That'd be nice.
But it's a big stadium.
It is, and it's outdoor. So, a lot of people will be vaccinated. So we'll see what happens. So, we'll see when we get some news on ticket sales. Yes, it is excited. I'm fired up.
Last year, the Jays here was, to me, it was okay. It was cool. I didn't feel like it, doesn't affect me watching on TV. It's a stadium I can't go to. Now, this is pretty cool.
Yeah, it is fun. Absolutely.
It'll be a fun
and
summer.
They're good. Their pitching is
pitching
in,
staff, yeah.
On our
got to get Nate Pearson up with the big guys as he's starting in Triple
A. He's with the Bisons, right? Yeah. On our Wester hotline to talk some football with us is Mike Girardi, NFL Network. Mike, it's Howard and Jeremy. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Howard and Jeremy, what's going
on? We're busy. We want to get to the AFC East with you. We were just talking about off-season moves and who's better in the division race. But the huge NFL story right now is Aaron Rodgers. So, Mike, let's start there. Will he be a Packer next season? Will he be traded? How do you think this will play out?
I think Green Bay is going to say, you want to go be a host of Jeopardy? Go right ahead. We're not trading you. I don't think you can allow these guys to back you into a corner like this. And, for all the talk about, what's the rationale behind it? Is it because they drafted Jordan Love and they didn't tell him? Is it he apparently hates everyone in the front office? He wants Brian Gutekunst fired. Like, okay, Aaron, you've leaked all these different things to all these different media people. Why don't you just stand up, do your interview with whomever, pick a guy, Peter King, whatever, and spell it all out. Put your name to it. Be out in front of it, and then we'll really see whether or not this can't be fixed. But I think we saw to a certain degree this offseason Russell Wilson wanted to go, and Seattle said no, we're not doing that.
Right.
So I'm when you have a franchise quarterback, I think you no one wants to be the guy that trades that guy. So for now, I'm thinking they're gonna just sit on it and see what happens.
Now, and Deshaun Watson was this discussion before things took a different turn because of his legal issues. Although with Rodgers, it's a little bit different. He is the oldest of those three guys. What do you think are the chances he says, okay, fine, then I'm done, and he just goes and walks away?
Well, I mean, he is, from all accounts, he holds a grudge. So I could see him at some point saying that, but then I could see him being away from it for a month and then being like, you know what? I missed a game. Also, by the way, if he goes away and then comes back, if they put him on some sort of reserve list, his cap number gets suspended, and if he comes back and his cap number comes into effect, then that could totally screw up their salary cap purposes, which maybe he might think is a benefit. Okay, now I screwed you. You guys screwed me. Now I screwed you. I think Aaron is a terrific player, but there's no he hasn't gotten support and help from that football team. Is crazy. I mean, they were top five offense, top five running back, top five wide receiver, top five left tackle, top 10 defense. Like, they built a team. You had an NFC championship game in your building this year. And, you know, there was a play right before the half where they gave up the long touchdown. That was bad. But there was also first and goal inside the 10. And Aaron lost his mind on four straight plays. And there's sort of a – there's been a repeat of that at various points in big games for Aaron. So I don't know. Just try to play ball. I hope it gets worked out, because I think Green Bay fans, you know, they deserve it. So, you know, I just hope it gets fixed.
The before you get to the AFC East, and I actually want to ask you about the quarterbacks that were all drafted in the first round, Mike. The Watson story, again, it's a different twist because there are now legal issues or accusations that are involved here. But Houston didn't have a lot of draft picks the other day. And the first pick they used it on a quarterback. So is that an indication that whether it's legal issues or the original, he doesn't like the owner, that Houston is just expecting they're done? They're never going to have Deshaun Watson play again for them?
Well, I think you remember in the beginning, too, they weren't trading him at all.
Right.
And I think right before the legal stuff popped up, I heard there was a softening and that they were willing to sort of explore that option. And to me, that made a lot of sense, because at that point, the value that you were going to be able to get for Deshaun Watson, if he really didn't want to play, if he was – as I was told, he wasn't showing up. The value we're going to get for him was pretty good. And again, it's hard to replace a top five quarterback. I get that. That scenario seemed to me a little stronger than this Aaron Rodgers one. And then, of course, like you said, it went sideways. So I think there's no telling, you know, from the Houston Texans perspective, whether he's going to be allowed to play football. You know, even if the legal stuff goes away in whatever form it goes away in, the league is now investigating, and the league could very easily say, man, there's too much here. We've seen it. You know, we've seen it time to time. We saw with Ben Roethlisberger, right? Suspended, I think, initially 6 games, and I think maybe it got reduced to 4. Like, they could step in. So I think they have to be prepared. I think that's why they signed Tyrod Taylor, and I think that's why they drafted David Mills.
AFCs, Mike, we were talking about it, you know, let's start with the Bills. Would you say the Bills are still the favorite to win the division next season?
I absolutely would, because they have the best quarterback.
How big is the gap?
I think the gap definitely got, it shortened a little bit. It got a little tighter because I think the Patriots reacted to, you know, a bad season and a, you know, an opportunity with the amount of money they had via the cap, which a lot of teams didn't have, to really add to their roster in a big way. I mean, I thought that roster was lacking talent at a bunch of spots last year, and they went out and they spent money, and there's no question that they're better in that regard. Their big question is, you know, do they have the quarterback to lead them? I think Miami is the same way. I think Miami is in position to be a challenger for sure. It's just what's Tua going to be? You know, mixed reviews in year one, which I thought was understandable because he just hadn't played a lot of football, and then obviously entered the campaign in the oddest offseason we've ever had. Now this one is this one's still going to be odd, but not to the extent that the last one was. And you know, he's got to make a jump if they're going to be what they built that team to be around him, then it's on.
I lost Mike. Mike, you there? I lost you. I think we lost Mike. All right, see if you can reestablish Brayton, and we'll finish our conversation with Mike Giardi on the quarterback, see what he has to say about the Jets. By the way, while we're reestablishing him, if you subscribe to Tyler Dunn's What is it? Go Long TD, right? Jeremy,
yep,
is the site.
GoLongTD.com.
He did a really good piece about Rodgers, and basically he hit on a lot of the points Mike just mentioned, you know, that the team around him is good. They were the one seed. They've got a good offensive line. He's got a good situation there despite all the stuff that's going on behind the scenes. All right, we got Mike back. Okay, Mike, we lost you momentarily. I think we got you back right now.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Oh, that's okay.
I just told the producer I didn't move, so I don't know what happened.
go ahead. I'll follow up on England real quick.
I was talking about quarterback. I don't know where you lost me, but I think the Patriots have tightened the gap because they spent all that money and they definitely upgraded their roster. But, you know, can Cam, Mac Jones, Jared Stidham, can somebody be better than what Cam was last year?
Mm-hmm.
And then for Miami, it's built around Tua, right? They've established a team. Now it's up to Tua to take that next step.
If you had to make a guess today, actually you do because we're asking you to, for at least week one, Cam, Mac Jones, what happens with their quarterback situation?
I think it's Cam. I think they're going to push Mac like crazy behind the scenes. And if he is all that we've been told he is in terms of his intelligence, I think he's going to pick this up. But I think there is a loyalty to Cam, and there is a belief still in the locker room about Cam. So I think they're going to give Cam the first opportunity, unless he's just absolute garbage in training camp. And then, you know, if there's an opening, if he plays like he did last year, there'll be an opening. And if there's an opening, I think, you know, if Mac's ready, Mac will walk through that door. But if I think Cam gets the first crack. I think Bill has a thing for Cam, and the team has a thing for Cam, and I think they're going to give him an opportunity to, you know, one more chance to sort of salvage potentially his starting career in the NFL. Certainly they've given him more tools to work with. Last year he had nothing, by and large. This year they spent a lot of money to add pieces there, and it's now, okay, there's no more excuses, Cam. It's on you.
I want to close with a Kansas City question in a moment, Mike. But on the Jets, I don't think anybody thinks they're contending for the division. But how much better will they be when you factor in both the roster additions and the coaching change?
Yeah, I mean, I like what they did in their draft, although it's kind of funny because to me, the of the five quarterbacks that were picked, and Zach obviously is number two overall, he's the one I have the most questions about. And I, you know, he's never been outside of Provo. He spent his entire life there. Now he's going into this cauldron. He seems to have the personality that he's going to be able to handle it. But I mean, he's going to be scrutinized like never before. And I just wonder. I don't know. To me, there's more of a, and maybe it's past history. Maybe I'm basing this on what happened with Sam Darnold and Mark Sanchez and all the guys before him. But there's a bust potential with him that I actually don't see with the other four guys. So, you know, he did some wonderful things in college. I'm actually, you know, look, as someone who covers the AFC East a lot, I'm rooting for all these guys to be good, right? Because it'll be fun. I don't know how Buffalo fans feel. They probably want everyone to stink so they can continue to dominate the division. But, like, I don't know. I just, he's someone, he worries me a little bit. But I will say, I think Joe Douglas, they've learned from past mistakes, right? I mean, they drafted offense. They're going to protect him. They're giving him pieces. Sam Darnold never had that luxury in the 3 years that he was quarterback with the Jets.
The Chiefs, we'll close with them, Mike, because, you know, everybody still looks at Kansas City as the gold standard, the team to beat, whatever the case may be. When you assess their offseason, are they better? Are they worse? Is there any reason to believe that maybe whatever the gap was, the pack will be closing in or they're coming back a little bit?
I think, to me, it's really all about that offensive line. I think we saw that. And, you know, they were at a disadvantage. Mitchell Schwartz has the back surgery, loss of the year.
Yep.
And then Fisher hurts the leg, and that's it. You're playing backup tackles against a team that get after the passer. And it was Tampa Bay was able to not only rush with four, but beat you with four. And that was, you know, we saw Mahomes run around like crazy. Just their whole offense got completely derailed by that. You know, they spent money. They spent draft capital in a trade for Orlando Brown. You know, they signed Joe Tooney to big dollars. They're bringing back Kyle Long, and who knows where he's going to play. There's some buzz about maybe playing tackle. There's some buzz about, you know, kicking inside. They definitely were aggressive trying to upgrade that position. It just, how does it come together? You know, like, I mean, I like Joe Tooney. I watched him for 4 years, 5 years. Terrific, terrific football player. I don't know that he's worth, you know, $55 million guaranteed, but he's a really good football player. And you know, they just have to make the rest of those pieces work. But they're still the gold standard to me. But I'll give you this. I believe that Buffalo closed the gap on them. Now, I think the gap may be bigger than the gap was in the AFC East, but I think they closed it a little bit.
You think they closed it because of the two pass rushers, or more about keeping the team together?
I think both. I think adding the two pass rushers, like, I look at it and say one of those guys probably will hit, right? I just think that for one of the two is going to hit. They needed fresh blood there. Both, wow, you know, that's fantastic. But, like, I like Basham a lot. I like his motor. He's far from a finished product, but he's a good football player. You know, obviously, Rousseau sat out last year. Some of the testing numbers weren't great, but if you look at the 10-yard splits, he's pretty quick. He has the potential to be a really good football player. I think they've said it. They said that that's the team that they have to measure themselves to, and I think what they did this offseason, first in keeping everybody, and then now the way they addressed their draft needs, their team needs, I think it's clear they continue to, you know.
I think we lost it. So we'll say follow Mike on Twitter, at Mike Giardi. It is G-I-A-R-D-I. He specializes in covering the AFC East for NFL Network. I'm not even sure if he is there. Mike, if you're there, thanks for coming on the show with us today.
Thanks, guys.
All right, there we go. Thank you, Mike. Appreciate your time. Mike with us here on the West Her Hotline, again from NFL Network. Just a quick update on the Blue Jays story. If you're just joining us, Sportsnet has tweeted out that the Blue Jays are going to be back here again starting June 1st at Salem Field. They have a 5-game homestand to open the month with Miami and Houston. Mike Harrington from Buffalo News, he has tweeted out that it looks like about 6,000 tickets will be made available for sale for starters. The Blue Jays are handling the ticket sales. This is not being done by the Bisons. So the Blue Jays are doing it, and they're going to sell tickets, or expected to sell tickets, on a month-to-month basis. So the month of June would be up, which would include Miami, Houston, Yankees, Brian Colziel's Orioles, and I believe, yeah, that's it through the month of June. So they would go month by month and maybe about 6,000 tickets to start. Hopefully it would go up from there.
Baseball for real this time. I had somebody write back that they were for real last summer also, to which I wrote back. If they're playing at Salem Field but you can't go, they might as well play on the moon.
Yeah,
it doesn't make any difference.
Right. It looked like our stadium on TV, but, you know, yeah.
Right. Bills games. Hey, the Bills played in Buffalo last year. That's right. I didn't get to go to any of them. They could have played every game in Las Vegas. It made no difference to me.
Yeah.
You know, the Bills were on my television the whole year. And the Blue Jays spent last year on television.
Yeah, I could see the 190 when there were home runs to left field.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of things are like that these days. If a concert's announced but I can't go to it, what use is the concert?
Yeah.
And I'll watch it on television. So, you know, my venue for sporting events has been my couch for quite a long time. And I'll be excited to get to Salem Field and see some Blue Jays games.
It'll be great. Again, they're good, so they're an entertaining team to play. They loved hitting in this ballpark last year. I'm sure there are people who maybe never been to a major league game, never been to New York or Toronto or Cleveland or Pittsburgh, and now you have a chance to see Major League Baseball here in town. Take the kids out to their first Major League take your twins to their first Major League Baseball game. Might be a little too young for it. So all of that is wrapped up. Plus, summer, baseball, outdoor stadiums, have a beer, have a hot dog, get ice cream. That's what summers are about with baseball games. Mm-hmm. And so that all returns too. I think that is outstanding. I think it is absolutely awesome. As I said, they're good and they're fun to watch.
Do you know who the Miami Dolphins backup quarterback is?
Jacoby Brissett.
That's correct. Just wanted to get that out there, just in case, you know, the Dolphins going all in with Tua. Okay, good. What happens if he falls flat?
Right.
What's the plan? The plan to have Fitz was a good plan. Now Fitz is gone.
Yeah.
And your emergency break last quarterback is Jacoby Brissett.
Yeah,
not bad.
Remember,
they
turned to Fitz when they were in a playoff spot, or at least a playoff race.
Yeah.
And that's why I asked you. Look, the Jets aren't contending, but, I mean, you look at their depth chart. So they make that draft fully expecting Zach Wilson to start day one, right? I mean, there's nobody that can play.
No, nobody.
Because someone did a piece the other day, one of the Jets writers that I follow did a piece about go get Josh McCown, or should the Jets go get a veteran quarterback to either mentor, or maybe if you have to start the season, if the kid's not ready, clearly, by looking at their depth chart, they fully expect this kid to be going no matter what in week one, because the guys behind him are not playing. And there's no sign that they're going to get a veteran quarterback at this point. They seem to be going all with Zach Wilson.
Every once in a while, I remember the Bills got Mitch Trubisky. You know, like the Dolphins maybe could have used Mitch Trubisky, or the Jets maybe could have used Mitch Trubisky. Hey, let's have somebody that's played before behind this guy.
Right.
I did see a stat, Doug Farrar. It's not our stat of the day, but a little bit ago, he pointed out that when Mitch Trubisky used pre-snap motion last year, he threw 7 touchdowns and 1 interception. He had the 6th highest passer rating in the NFL. Trubisky did with pre-snap motion. The Bills use a lot of pre-snap motion.
Yeah.
So might be a nice fit for, again, a backup. Hopefully he doesn't play. Sorry, Mitch.
803-0550 to join us this morning, 888-550-2550. Have you tweeted us yet today? It is Hoagie Hump. I know you tweeted me after Pick the Bills. It is Hoagie Hump Day. Tweet at WGR550. When you do that, please use the hashtag Hoagie Hump Day. That'll put you in the running for a $25 gift card from Jim Stakeout. We will have one lucky WGR listener win said gift card. Again, tweet at WGR550, hashtag it, Hoagie Hump Day. Jim Stakeout, get your hoagie on. Visit jimstakeout.com.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Real quick thing, I want to talk about the Seattle hockey team for a moment.
Who? Don't they have a nickname? This is not like the Washington football team.
The upcoming Seattle hockey team. Yeah, by the way, that makes it so much easier to do this.
Because Washington set the precedent?
I don't want to make a mockery of that because I'm not mocking that.
What is
I'm mocking the Seattle hockey team's nickname.
What is their nickname again?
Absurd. Hey, for the expansion draft. Ready? Let's play this game.
Yeah.
We went over this once before. I need a sledgehammer to hammer this point home to every person that was.
That's Peter Gabriel. What are you doing, sledgehammer?
Ready? Let's start protecting some players. The exercise will illustrate the Sabres cannot.
I'm going to Rasmus Ristolainen right away. Just to
make you angry. Cannot protect Rasmus Ristolainen in the expansion draft. Cannot do it. It will be an unforgivable act by the GM.
Wait a minute. Dare I say it might make you rant about the Sabres?
These are pre-rants.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh,
let's start doing this. Who would you like to protect? First off, you must protect Jeff Skinner. He has a no-move clause.
Yeah, and a POSO too, right?
No, not anymore.
Oh.
No. According to Cap Friendly, a POSO could be left unprotected.
Did not know that. All right.
Again, you don't have to worry about that. They're not
going
to
take it. And we're going 7-3-1, right?
You can do whichever format you want. That's going to illustrate how obvious this is. So, Howard, start protecting some players from the Seattle hockey team.
Kraken.
He's not on the team.
Dan Kraken. He's a winger.
There's no guy of that name.
No.
Go ahead.
Start protecting players.
I don't have the list in front of me. Who do I got? So you just, can you start reading off forwards?
Can you name Sabres?
Eichel.
Okay.
Reinhardt.
Okay.
Skinner has to be protected. Okay.
Yep.
Let's see. So Olofsson doesn't have to be protected. Cousins.
He does.
Cousins doesn't.
Cousins does not.
Does Bjork have to be protected, by the way?
He does.
Yep.
Okay, I would protect Olofsson right now.
Okay. I mean, sure, that makes sense. He's an asset. If you want to move him, you'd move him.
I think his game has gotten better, too.
You certainly would want to lose him for free.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's see, who else? What about, do Mittelstadt and Thompson have to be protected?
Mittelstadt does. Thompson does.
I would not worry about protecting Thompson right now. I would protect Mittelstadt.
Okay.
What's that, four?
You are
Skinner, Reichel,
five forwards.
Reichel? I just made Reichel, by
You're
the way.
You're five forwards.
Let me see. I should probably have their roster in front of me. Just
Would you like to protect Asplund?
I would. I'm just trying to think who else I'm leaving unprotected.
Just go. Don't even worry about that.
I'm not protecting
Don't look
a
at the numbers. Let's just do this. Who do you need to keep?
I know. I just have to remember who's on the freaking roster right now. You don't understand. Well, I'm 58, and I can't remember anything.
Go to defense. Start naming defensemen.
Don't protect Ristolainen. You protect Borgen. You protect Dahlin. You protect Joki Haru.
You have one
else?
More forward.
I'm not protecting Colin Miller.
It's already over. You named your three. You have one more forward.
One more forward. Okay, let's see.
So it's Thompson, Bjork.
I would say Asplund.
I already clicked his name. So Thompson or Bjork?
Oh, Thompson or Bjork. Thompson.
Thompson. Okay. There's your list with
just
no
so
wrist alignment.
Inconsistent. No, because
hold on. The exercise. You've protected Eichel, Skinner, Reinhardt, Olofsson, Thompson, Mittelstadt, Asplund.
And
Dahlin,
Olmark I would protect, right? I gotta get one goalie in.
You gotta sign him. If he's not signed, it won't matter. He's a UFA.
Oh, there's no other goalie I have to worry about.
You don't have to protect. I mean, you'd protect Dustin Tokarski.
Yeah, UPL doesn't have to be, right?
No, he does not.
So then I can go, 8-3? Whatever, it doesn't matter. Go
no,
ahead.
The goaltender does not factor in there.
All right, go ahead.
Again, that's who you protected. You say, you're listening. I want to protect Ristolainen. I think he's important. He's a key piece. Okay, all right. You have two ways to do this. You will either unprotect Borgen
right.
or Joki Haru. Make your pick.
I would pick Borgen to unprotect, but I wouldn't do it. That'd be the guy.
You're going to leave Borgen for free. You say, no, I'll do it where I get four defensemen. Okay.
Yeah.
In that case, you must unprotect two forwards.
Yeah. Thompson.
Actually, more than that. Three forwards.
Thompson,
Asplund, and Bjork.
Yeah.
All unprotected to protect Ristolainen.
Couldn't you also... Please don't yell at me. But you could also try the whole, hey, Seattle, what do you want to not take Borgen thing? Like you could make a side deal to make sure they don't take a certain guy off your roster?
Yes, that's right. So then you would make a side deal. You'd protect. You get everybody back, and you offer them things to not
again,
take Ristolainen.
Right,
not,
this is where,
not take Borgen.
Right, this is where you would tell me, why would you want to give up any kind of capital when you can just protect Borgen?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which I think would be your question to me.
Sure. I guess I should amend it. Of course, they should not protect Ristolainen. If they do but come to an agreement that Borgen would not be poached,
then they get to keep both.
Then what you're basically. Doing is you're trading, you know, a second-round pick for the right to keep Rasmus Ristolainen for a year.
Correct. And not
he's a UFA.
To keep him and not lose Borgen, right, because you want to leave. Right. You want your cake and you want to eat it too.
Mm-hmm.
If they're protecting Ristolainen, they're sure as heck they're just extending his contract the same day, right?
He's
got
to.
1 year left on his deal. I mean, if you're keeping Ristolainen, it's certainly not because you think next year we've got to have Ristolainen, we're making a run, and then he leaves. So you would only protect him if you think there's another big contract coming here for Rasmus Ristolainen. And are you doing that with Eichel and Skinner and what Reinhardt might make if he gets his big contract? And Dahlin down the road. I mean, mm-hmm. It just doesn't make any sense to do that.
It'll be interesting to know what Seattle wants. You know, what does Seattle
want?
Yeah,
what are they building with? Who do they want? Right. Right. Maybe they... Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question on the roster.
Meanwhile, there is other big news.
By the way, before you get to the other big news.
Yeah.
You've covered defense. Is forward difficult for you? Is there a difficult decision?
No.
All right. So it's pretty easy for the Sabres to do this list.
Yeah, I mean, I'm protecting wait a minute. Maybe I had one guy. The tough decision is Thompson or Bjork.
Or Bjork. Mm-hmm. It's not that tough a decision, quite honestly.
No, and I wouldn't even really worry about it.
Yeah, right.
I would probably...
You could protect...
I wouldn't even worry about it.
Yeah, I know. That's why I thought... I don't know. I just... You're right. I don't even know why I picked Thompson. I think it's a coin flip, but whatever. It's not like you're going to lose sleep over that one.
Yeah, but I'm protecting Asplund.
Yeah.
And that's a definite.
Yeah, actually, you know what? His offensive upside has been pretty good this year, better than I thought it was going to be. So go ahead. What was the other thing you wanted to bring
up? The other thing was about the story about New York City schools are going to do remote learning instead of snow days. And lots of school districts are thinking about bagging snow days for virtual learning.
That's not going to go over well. With the kids.
No, we need to rise up as a society and not say that that's not okay.
I mean, among the greatest things of my childhood were waking up in the morning and seeing a whole ton of snow and turning on the radio waiting for the snow closing list.
Yeah. My mom was a teacher. She taught at a different school district that I went to.
Yeah.
So whenever there's a big snowstorm, it was getting up and waiting to find out if her school was closed and if my school was closed. And sometimes she was and I wasn't and vice versa. And it was –
about edge of the seat.
Listen, you think kids like snow days. Teachers love snow days.
No, that was edge of the seat. And guess what? This just in. Growing up on Long Island, there are a lot of schools. And my district began with a V. Valley Stream. So you want what you talk about
Stream.
Waiting to get to, it's like, come on. And it's Long Island. So there are 8 million school districts,
yep.
Valley Stream School District. Yeah.
See, growing up in Auburn in Central New York,
Auburn.
We were right at the front.
That's nice.
AUB. So like you knew quickly.
Yeah.
And I can still remember, you know, I always have that one district you're always mad at because they always closed. Red Creek, I think it was. They're always closed.
Or
it was Red Creek.
See, you didn't have to worry about it in the A's. Or you would do, like Jonathan went to Sweet Home. So you would always listen, did Amherst close? Like you would think there are indicators before they get to S that would let you know if your district closed. So for us, Lynbrook was next door. Okay, did Lynbrook close? Hey, all right, it's got to be us. Like Lynbrook, Rockville Center, all these areas around you close. You're like, okay, when they get to V, I'm definitely here in Valley Stream because everybody else is closing.
Did you guys do 1 hour and 2 hour delays also sometimes?
No.
Never did that?
I never remember.
Like so-and-so was operating on a one-hour delay?
No, we were open or we were closed. And we were rarely closed only because snowstorms in Long Island just didn't happen that often.
I'll tell you, the one-hour and the two-hour delay were still kind of victories.
Really?
Because if you're on a two-hour delay and you show up to school, not only was like the first portion of your day canceled, but everything else, people were just kind of like, this day doesn't even count. Why are we here? Let's just, you know, watch TV or watch movies or something.
Yeah, it was never, the roads were typically not an issue to delay buses. And we didn't, like I didn't, for high school, we didn't use the whole yellow school bus thing. We actually took Nassau County buses. It would be like you getting on the metro, using, you know, the county bus to go to school, not the yellow school bus for your district. And, you know, stuff was plowed. Things were, it would have to be a blizzard for the county buses to not run because people go to work and everything. So those were the buses we actually used to get to high school. And typically they were always running.
What was more exciting as a kid? Did you guys ever get sent home early?
It's so long ago, Jeremy. I'm having a hard time trying to remember that. I would assume, I can't think of why we would have been sent home early.
Okay.
It probably happened at some point, but nothing really jumps to me.
Let's also be, how often did Long Island get snow?
That's what I'm saying. It really, we'd get
Never.
Two, three, four. It's not like we would get a foot of snow that often. That would shut the schools down.
But would you shut down for a little bit or
no? Oh, if we got a foot of snow, a couple
No,
days.
I mean, would you shut down for 4 inches?
No.
Okay.
No.
Because
minimum,
you know,
six was in discussion.
Okay. So how many snow days did you have your entire childhood?
Less than five, probably.
Okay, less than five. Right, exactly. Whereas Buffalo, Syracuse, like, I mean, we would have had a couple a year.
For sure.
Sure.
Yep.
And here in Buffalo, you obviously have them quite frequently. So what I'm asking is, as a kid, what's more exciting, the day off or going home
early?
Because we had days where, of course, it'd be 10 a.m. and here it comes. And, hey, the buzz around the classroom is like, yeah, we might go
That's
home early.
That's funny, yeah.
And it was... Let me tell you, you think the snow day was exciting? It was, but going home early was talk about a natural high as a kid. What? We're already here, but we get to leave? Oh, man, going home early. Nothing beat it.
No going home early for us, but we will wrap up the show. No, we got to do the rest of the show.
Oh, for us, yeah.
Yeah, we got to get the break. We'll wrap up the show. Instigators, top of the hour on the Sabres, and I'm sure they'll talk about Tom Wilson again on WGR. You got anything you want to get in? We got 2 minutes.
I think he's on the phone.
Oh, all right. I will remind you about the Radiothon again. Then we just heard from Janet, who, by the way, will be on with us tomorrow. This is a great cause. They've been doing this at KISS over at our sister station, KISS 98.5, for years. Have raised hundreds of thousands of dollars. They've helped the hospital, Shy Children's Hospital, be able to purchase a number of important pieces of equipment over the years for everything they do over there. So that's going to be tomorrow morning, 6 a.m., 6 p.m. We'll get Janet on the show tomorrow, Jeremy. We'll remind everybody. Yeah.
And I, I've spent a lot of time at Children's
Yes,
Hospital.
You have. Yes, that's
right. So I can tell you all about those wonderful pieces of equipment, in all seriousness, and the wonderful people that work there as well.
So you can make a donation, but you can get online and do it now. You can do it through our website, too, okay? So WGR550.com to donate.
Last minute of play in the show.
$15 per month makes you a miracle maker. You can do a one-time donation. This is where we'll tell you every little bit counts. Whatever you can donate, it's much appreciated. So that's our website, and we'll tell you again. We'll tell you a bit more about this tomorrow. All right. Any final words from you, sir? I think we lost him. All right. Instigators coming up next. They'll talk about Michael Hauser and his first two games as a Buffalo Sabre. I got a feeling they'll bring up Tom Wilson and the no suspension thing and the $5,000 fine. That's on the way. We are back tomorrow morning. Thanks very much. Have a great day. Bye.